I'm always amazed at how the Lord moves. I've been studying on a particular subject matter most all week, and even in this morning, but yet it seems like in the last few minutes it's been changed. So I certainly ask that you pray for me. If anybody thinks that we try to preach from a prepared subject matter, prepared outline, you don't understand. You just don't. But so pray the Lord will bless us this morning. That song, one of my favorite verses of any song is found in that last verse. What number was it? 57?
56.
56. Third verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Now, if you can just kind of get a feeling about that. I admire people that can write beautiful things like that. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill or a pen, and every man a scribe or one that writes, scribe by trade. And this is our subject matter. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. It's amazing how the Lord has blessed us. I would ask if you would turn, we need to have a subject matter, so I'd ask if you would turn to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And this will be covered, Lord willing, cover our attempt this morning. Pray the Lord will be in the matter and will give us grace. I used to work for a man, this many years ago, several years ago, and his favorite saying was, your perception is your reality. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever used that? Don't do that. That's your perception is your reality. And the way that meant, what that means is this. If in fact that new air conditioner up there was white, but I see it as black, and that's my perception, then you can't convince me it's white. My perception is my reality. Sometimes our perception of things that we come up against daily is our reality. One of the things we've tried to do since the beginning of the first of the year, second or third week after that, last month, 5 weeks, is to get a perception of what the Lord's about. Because sometimes if we don't have a real perception, then we miss the whole thing. We miss everything. Well, what is he about? What is he all about? I'm gonna have to change. Pray for me. I'm not gonna have time to get into that. Second chapter of Ephesians. Study the 40th chapter. Lord willing, we'll try to look at that next week. Second chapter of Ephesians. Very familiar verse. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. How you look at that is really your understanding of what salvation by grace is all about. You've been asked, I've been asked, what's the difference between the Southern Baptist Church and other Baptist churches? And really, to be very honest, the only thing we have in common is that we believe in total immersion for baptism. And we even disagree on what that baptism is about. The one thing we agree on, for whatever reason, a person has to go beneath the water and be raised again. Some say it's for salvation. It's not what we say, it's that the man of God that follows after God will have a clear conscience towards God. That's what Peter said. This is what it's all about, that we might have a clear conscience toward God. And you hath he quickened, and that quickened means to make alive. you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Go with me just real quickly to Ezekiel. Go to the 16th chapter. Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. I wanted to go to Ephesians and now to Ezekiel, and we'll go to one other place after we're through here. Old Testament, handling Old Testament subjects, but this is one that goes over into the New Testament. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Cause Jerusalem to understand what her great affliction is. And part of the reason that men stand in this position before you is that you might understand the abominations that's within us and all around us. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. Now, the Lord God is speaking unto the church of Jesus Christ. Jerusalem is a city upon a mountain. Sits upon Mount Zion. A city is in fact a holy city, and is compared to the church, and then it sits upon Mount Zion, which is the stability of the church itself. But what the Lord is saying to him, here's your calling. Saith unto the Lord God Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now, we need to pay careful attention to the next things that are coming so that we don't get lost in what it's trying to tell us. And say, not only say, know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. And what it's saying is, your birth, your nativity, was in a natural standpoint. It's in Canaan. It wasn't in heaven anymore in glory. It's on this earth. And you have afflictions that are of this earth. And the affliction that we have is a sinful nature. You don't think you have it? Somebody say something bad to you and what happens? I just fly up. This bothers me. Mother, somebody says something about your children. What happens? That nature is there. And it doesn't matter how old your children are. It's just there. He says, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. And what he's saying here is that both your father and your mother, those who gave conception to you, she who carried you, are sinners. They're of this world. And sometimes we say, well, my mother wasn't. Well, I can tell you enough about my mother. Very obvious that she was, but it was also obvious that she mourned for her sins. She mourned for the very afflictions that she had. Your birth and your nativity was of this earth. Your father was an Amorite of this earth. Your mother was a Hittite of your earth. And here came your birth. And as for thy nativity, or the time that you were born, in the day thou wast born, now careful attention, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. When you were born, there was no one there that even had enough compassion for you to do the things that would normally be done. Baby's born, what has to happen first? Well, I didn't have to go to school to be a doctor to understand there has to be a separation from that baby and the mother. And if there's not, what happens? Well, the baby will become polluted and will die from that. That standpoint, that moment, the moment that baby is born, there has to be a separation. And what it says here, nobody cared anything about you. Nobody bothered to worry about you when you were born. Nobody even did the least important things. There was nobody there to sever the cord. There was nobody there to clean you up. There was nobody there to swaddle you. None at all. I've been blessed to be in the same county, but not the same room when our children were born. Our boys were born. And back when they were born, They didn't let the fathers in the room with the mothers when they're having the kid, and I am so glad for that, okay? I know medicine's come a long way, but I question all that. I'm not sure what they think we can do, but sit there and pass out and need another doctor. But in this situation, when that baby's born, there are things that are done to it. There's a cord that has to be cut. That baby has to be cleaned up. That baby has to be swaddled and rubbed, clothes wrapped around it so that it might feel the love of the mother and the father. There are things that has to happen. But what the Word of God said here, that when you were born, there's nobody that cared for you. None at all. Nobody was there to sever the cord. Nobody was there to clean you up. Nobody was there to wash you or to swaddle you. Nobody cared at all. That was your birth. That was your situation. Look what he says. Fifth verse. Let's go back to the last part of the fourth. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all. You know what that means? Salt was put upon that where the cord was to sear it, to bring it to closure. Nobody cared about that. Nobody cared about your situation. You know what happens if that cord is not, if it's not clamped off or if it's not salted? The blood comes forth and the baby dies. Nobody cared. There you were. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. Nobody cared. Your situation was in this life, before a magnificent event occurred, you were by yourself. Some might say, well, Brother Webb, you have to cry out for salvation. Nobody would have heard you. Nobody cared. And to be very honest, before that glorious event occurred, you would not have cried out. You know why? You were happy in your situation. Just happy as you can be. Remember what it says in Ephesians? He has quickened you. He has brought you alive. He has brought you from the situation that we find this little infant child in. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person, and in the day thou wast born. You were discarded. There was nothing good about you. There was nothing beautiful about you. That you might in fact be loved. You were discarded. And to be very honest, there was no beauty about you. There was no beauty about me. I remember one time that I was standing in a church trying to speak, and I didn't mean anything hurtful about it, but I just made the comment, I've never seen a beautiful baby. On the way home, I was reminded there has been at least three beautiful babies. All of them were named Webb. And from a mother's standpoint, they were beautiful. From a dad's standpoint, they're all wrinkled and red, and they're not very pretty. But to be very honest, they're all beautiful in the sight of the Lord. But nobody cared. You were cast out. There you were. Sixth verse. Here's hope. Here's hope. And to be very honest, friend, here's the only hope that we have as God's children here upon this earth. And when I, who's talking? The Lord Himself. And when I, nobody else cared. Nobody else saw you in your situation. Nobody else had any compassion on you. But the Lord said, when I pass by. You see, friend, we get this understanding sometime that it's all up to us. It's all on our shoulders. It's all up to us to have eternal salvation. There has to be a crying out. There has to be a desire. There has to be all of these elements. But to be very honest, friend, that's all not true. You were in, I was in, we were all in this situation. There was nobody cared for us. There was nobody. We were there dead in our trespasses and in sin. When the Lord passed by, He quickened us. And the Lord said here, when I pass by thee, polluted in thine own blood. Look finally at the bad situation this infant was in, polluted in your own body. But when I pass by, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, what did he say? Here's an opportunity for you to have eternal salvation. Here's an opportunity for you to live. No, friend, he said, I passed by. I saw thee in thy situation. And when I passed by, I said, live. Guess what happened? That child lived. That child was changed. That child was brought forth from the situation of being polluted in its own blood, condemned to death, condemned for an eternity unto death. But when the Lord passed by, he said, when I passed by, I said unto thee, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Look at the good news. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is drawn. Whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, the time was of the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. You see the glory? We weren't worth anything. There was nobody concerned about us. There was nobody cared about us. But a glorious, glorious event occurred. When that occurred, he passed by. And compassion flooded over that child. And compassion flooded over you. Reminded again, second chapter, first verse of the Ephesians. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Second verse says, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But look at this. You know what one of the biggest words in the Bible is? But. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. You see the condition we were in, that little child that was polluted in its own blood. It was dead, but the Lord passed by. And he didn't just say, get well. He said, live. Even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Turn just real quickly to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Our condition has been defined before you. There was no life about us. There was nothing that was good about us. There was no one that cared for us. But when the Lord passed by, he saw us in our condition. I ask you a question. Do you remember when you were born again? You see, that's very important to some people, that you must remember. If you don't remember, if you don't have an idea of exactly when it was, the very moment and time that it was, if you don't have that, then it's all in question. I'm not quite sure how they handled John the Baptist in that regard, because John the Baptist, while in his mother's womb, when it was announced the birth of Christ was coming, that he leaped for joy. Hadn't even been born. There was life within him. But when it was announced, he leaped for joy. Doesn't the name Jesus Christ make you want to leap for joy sometimes? Doesn't how he enters into your life and how he changes your situation, how that he promises you more than the world could ever begin to give. Doesn't it sometimes just make you want to cry, Abba, Father? Doesn't it sometimes just make tears come to your eyes? Doesn't it sometimes make you say, Father, I'm just not worthy, and here comes the word, I know it. I know it. But my love will make you worthy. There are events taking place here in the third chapter of John that I want to discuss for just a little while. It contains two people. One was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, as defined in the first verse of this chapter, was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man of high position in the Sanhedrin. He was one that many looked towards for conversations and for guidance. And he was a Pharisee. And the Pharisee was that he believed that the resurrection was already past. It's already gone. The same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Now, in order for us to get the full understanding of this, we have to keep in mind how this is happening. Because the world has a real different story about this. Nicodemus came to Christ, and here's when he came. He came by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Nicodemus came by night, and he came by night so that no one would recognize him. No one could say, Nicodemus was going to see that Jesus. No, he was coming in the dark streets. He was coming with where torches weren't lighted. He was coming, but he was being drawn by the very power of Jesus Christ himself. I doubt if you were to ask Nicodemus at that moment, Nicodemus, why? He'd go, I don't know. I just got to go. I don't have a choice in the matter. It's almost like something's drawing me to him. And to be very honest, something was drawing it to him. It was not drawing because to be saved, but be drawing him because he was already saved. And here came Nicodemus. look at what he says to it. Rabbi. The rabbi is a Jewish teacher, one that's really, really blessed in the law, knows the law from beginning to end, knows all the things about the law, can have problems brought to them, and he can give confidence to people about the law and what the law would affect and affect their problem. He was a rabbi, highly thought of, spent years and years studying the law. He came to him, and here's what he said. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Did you notice how Jesus was minimized in that definition? I don't think Nicodemus meant anything about it. I think that's just in his mindset at that moment. That's exactly how he felt about him. Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles. Obviously, not only had Nicodemus seen the miracles, but Nicodemus had been told of the miracles. It was on everybody's conversation. It was on everybody's mind. It was on their lips about this man raised the dead. This man allowed the blind to see. This man stopped a funeral and raised the widow's son. This man brought all those brought to him in the midst of palsy that could not walk. He gave them strength, and strength came to their legs, and they walked, and they leaped from joy. Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Just a fact that come from all the things that have occurred. And then Jesus begins to speak. Now, the great disparity about what has happened and what some say is happening. Some say that Nicodemus came that he might receive salvation. Some say that he came in order that the Lord might supply him or adorn him or anoint him, if you will, with salvation. My feelings on the matter is salvation had already occurred. The Lord, the Spirit of God, had already spoke to his soul and his heart and said, live. And now he was living spiritually. He didn't understand everything. Obviously, his conversation betrayed that. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? I've heard it preached since a child that the kingdom of God is the church of Jesus Christ. I think that's partially true. I don't think it's wholly figured upon the church. I believe personally it's the whole reign, the whole realm of God Himself, which is inclusive of the Church of Jesus Christ. I think it's what He is. I think it's His glory. I think that it's His power. I think that it's His ability. When we see all of that, when we see Him in proper perspective, then we understand His glory. And if a man's not born again, he cannot see that. He just can't see that. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, here's the knowledge that Nicodemus has. Not belittling Nicodemus. I'm just using the subject matter and showing you evidence. Nicodemus saith unto the Lord, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You understand what's happening? The Lord has introduced him to spiritual birth, and he's trying to get a feeling of it through a natural birth. He said, how can a man my age, how can I go again and be born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb? And look at the answer. Jesus answered in the fifth verse, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter unto the kingdom of God. First verse out of the Christ's mouth in this particular chapter said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now he's telling Nicodemus, who is trying to wrestle with the whole subject matter, and he's telling him now that unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know what the water and Spirit is? It's not natural water. It's the very Spirit of God. Unless a man's born again, unless he's born from that earthly flesh, unless he's born from that earthly thought, unless he's born from that earthly situation, unless a man is born of the water, washing of regeneration, as Titus said, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, unless that has come upon him, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And may I tell you this? That man is totally, totally dependent upon that action from God Himself. He doesn't cry for it, doesn't even know he needs it. But God, in His glory and in His majesty and in His way, says to him, live! And he's born again. He sees, and now he's washed, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And that man is a changed individual. Oh, I could wish I could tell you that man's going to live life and not have any problems. You know better than that. You know better than that. You know, I know that every moment of our life now, because of what has happened to us, what has occurred to us, we are a changed individual. Paul says that when we're born again, we're new creatures. New creatures. Born again. There's a difference about us. You know what happens at the moment of regeneration? Child of grace, totally out of control of anything that occurs. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit comes and that individual's changed. You know what happens? His soul is sanctified. It's made holy. Why? Because now it encases or houses the very Spirit of God. That's what makes you different than what you were before. And now you have a conscience. Before, you didn't have a conscience. You did not care if your life was in upheaval. You did not care that your life was full of sin. You didn't care. Matter of fact, all we wanted was just more. And then when the change came, we were new creatures. We were born again. We were allowed to see the kingdom of God. You see what a blessing that is? We were allowed to see the kingdom of God. We were allowed by His grace, His mercy, His washing, His renewing to enter into the kingdom of God. And there we are, safe and secure forevermore. One question I've been asked over and over again by people at work or people that have some working knowledge of the Scriptures themselves, they ask, and this is supposed to be a condemning question. If you answer in the correct answer, then you're automatically condemned in your error. And what they ask is, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I don't know of any other salvation. I don't know of a salvation that comes and goes. Once it comes, friend, you got it. It's there. And you can thank God for it. And you, friend, can live your life as close to Him as we can. As close to Him as He will allow us. We desire more. We desire more. Some of you had trouble getting to church this morning, and I heard from a little one of the problems that was there, and those are hard problems, and I think that probably all of us come to those situations. But you know what? You came. And you didn't come that you might make a mark on the wall that you're here. You came wanting something, to receive something. You could do something else this morning, you could. But you've made a decision to come to the house of the Lord and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you didn't do it for any other reason other than you needed it. You needed it. I don't know how it is with you. When I'm not in the house of the Lord for a week or two, I'm distraught. I'm hungry. I'm needy. I'm just needing a touch of the Master's garment. I'm just needing something from Him. I've got to close this up. Fifth verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And now Christ continues to tell Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You understand that? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Friday, I spent more time in an airport than I ever have in my history. I spent about 8 hours waiting on the flight. You know what the problem was? High winds. I was supposed to go from Salt Lake City, land into Denver, change planes, 60, 70 mile an hour winds in Denver. They're not going to go. So I waited. High winds. No one saw that wind. Many felt the effects of it. No one saw it. Here's what Christ says. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And if I don't quit there, it'll be another 15 minutes. I thank you for your attention. I ask you to pray for me and mine when at the throne of grace. How blessed we are. How blessed we are to have a Lord that saw us in such a horrible condition. Saw us without life. Saw us there and spoke to us words of healing, words of salvation, and said unto us, live. You, I, can live our lives as strong and as good as we can in His behalf and not even begin to start paying the debt. He didn't do it that you might pay it back. He did it because He's the Lord. And He did it because you needed what He had. And He had a home in heaven, immortal glory. Many of our kid folks are gone on. Moms, dads, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, grandfathers, grandmothers have gone on. We'd love to know what's going on. We'd love to know what's going on. And in the early 1900s, a preacher wrote a song. I saw it years ago. I enjoyed singing it, looking at it. And the song, it says this: I wonder what they're doing in heaven today. You ever thought about that? I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what they're doing right now. Mom, dad are gone on. I wonder what they're doing. Grandpa, grandma, saints, salt of the earth. I wonder what they're doing. Little children that have been aborted, cast aside. wonder what they're doing. You know what they're doing? In unison, all together, the saints of the ages are singing praises to Him who would not pass you by, to Him that said unto you, live. Now, not because of one good thing they did, one good thing they accomplished, but because of all He accomplished, they're there. Wonder what it looks like? Have no idea. I wouldn't even bore you with my thoughts. I have no idea. But I know this, it's perfect. I know this, there's nothing on this earth that compares to the beauty therein. And I know this, them along with David are satisfied. That's what he said. He said, when I awaken your likeness, I'll be satisfied. As we stand to sing some suitable hymn, there are those that have a desire to church, this is your opportunity. After we sing a verse or two, we'll let's sing. Somebody look up, pass me not, O gentle Savior.